coming to you live from the Florida State Fairgrounds in beautiful Tampa, Florida. We are keeping you plugged in with Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 on episode 350 of F5 Live. Refreshing technology. Four down. Five down?
I don't know.
I'm losing track of guest people showing up, but this is great.
Yeah. Five with Terry.
Looking at my timer over there, we are 1 hour into our coverage.
We are 1 hour.
Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014, so I think it's no better time than now to remind people what they're doing. Where you're watching the coverage of the Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 here at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. Episode 350. I don't know why I keep hitting the table.
Boom!
I never get a table in front of me. That's why. There's always a computer on the table. I can't hit that. Of F5 Live, refreshing technology, part of the Tech Podcast Network. And the Plug Kits Live family of content. Usually our shows air Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Get posted Sunday night or Monday morning for a drive to work, school, or what have you. Go subscribe at f5live.tv.
Sometimes maker stuff can be a little rough.
Oh, yeah.
And you can
it's true.
Splinter
it's
your
true.
Arm.
And we definitely want to thank one of our sponsor here for making this all happen. That, of course, is Kreos.
And the Meteor by Kreos. Their new smartwatch platform with a variety of bands, colors, and even styles of wearing it. Whether you're looking for just a device to give you, you know, what your most recent Facebook message or text message or alert information, whether that's what you're looking for or you're hoping for workout, health, and fitness information, the Meteor supports it all. And the best part about it all is the fact that it is available for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So long as you're on, you know, one of the big three. Right, sorry, BlackBerry and the eight of you who are left. You're probably not going to be supported
Symbian.
Anytime soon. Oh, yeah, Symbian. Although, to be fair, they might support BlackBerry. I don't know.
You were just happy with the Windows Phone.
I got excited by the Windows Phone stuff. I don't know. It's okay.
It is.
So it's available for pre-order right now, and you can pre-order. Oh, you may actually just. No, there it is. Pre-order. I was going to say, it looks like you might be able to just buy them now. Nope. Still pre-order.
Yes.
Available right now by going to f5live.tv/Meteor.
Go pick one of those up. I also want to make sure I thank somebody since we have a. Oh, no. We will do that in just a second then. No problem. Please, you will notice that it's gotten a little quiet.
Yes, it has. It has gotten a little quiet
in the past
here,
couple of minutes,
which is okay.
It's gotten quiet because we have the person making that ruckus. I'm sorry. No, it's been great. It's been an absolute
I'm very
fun
sorry
time.
About that.
No, it's great.
It is okay. It's been fun to listen to.
We now have you on the show, which is why the music is stopped.
That's right.
So please introduce yourself.
My name is Cameron Eckleberry. I perform under the name The Digital Berrybot.
And what do you do for those who are uninformed or uneducated
or,
with that?
Or weren't exactly able to hear it indirectly through the mics, which if all went well, they shouldn't have been able to hear it through the mics.
I'm trusting my staff.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Carla says no.
All right. Well, I do electronic music. I don't really give like any other particular genre besides that because I don't really know how to define it. And sure. I do whatever feels good. You know, maybe one day it's a techno day, one day it's kind of a trance day, maybe another day it's an ambient day, you know. I love performing. I'm looking more into getting into doing movie scores. I work with my friend who just graduated Columbia College, doing a little movie scores for him. But, it's my passion. It's fun.
Cool. How did you get into it?
I got into it GarageBand. My friend came over one day, and I had a Mac, like an old like Mac I bought for $200 on eBay, and he opened up GarageBand, which I hadn't opened, and he started playing on it, and I was like, wow, this is really fun. I can actually play by myself. I don't need like to get the band over, like deal with my mom, like needing the noise down.
Fair enough.
That's funny because for me, for what I do the audio side of all of this stuff. And for me, I got started with Cool Edit Pro and Fruity Loops.
Oh, yeah.
The old, old version of Fruity Loops doing the same exact thing. Friend brought it over. He's like, look at the things I got. I'm like, oh, sequencing. Click, click, click. Yes. It just took off. Same exact. I totally understand. Listening to your music, though, I've listened to a little bit before. We saw you on the website and had to check it out. And then now a lot of... a lot of trance-like things, a lot of live performance, which I really appreciate. Where's that inspiration coming from for you to perform the music live and not just hitting a play button and doing some undulation to the track?
Mostly, I just I never wanted to be branded as a DJ per se. Like I like to call myself an electronic artist.
Sure.
I mean, basically, I wanted to show that people would find interesting, and it's not just like a dude in front of some stuff and like he's like texting and like drinking some vodka because he's got the time to. I want to like make myself
because everything's busy already happened.
Right, right, exactly. You know, he's laid back, he's got the bitches there. I'm sorry if that's not family friendly. But you've all seen like the Skrillex videos or whatever, you know.
Sure, sure.
But or Kanye West or whatever. Anyways, the point is like I wanted the show to be interesting for other people and not just the music to carry it, but also myself to carry it.
I hear a lot of that, too, in like an artist like Deadmau5 is the same way. He wants to perform it live. He doesn't want to be a DJ. So I can respect that, and it shows when you perform. You're into it, and you're not just hitting the play button. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're good.
Yeah. It was definitely fun to watch you because you were certainly into it.
Yeah, thank you.
Trying to stay focused here. You know, we have our back to what happens behind us for good reason because we don't look at it. And they put him there.
I know.
Right. Look where I'm sitting.
If you're going to at any point make eye contact with the guest, you had to basically be looking at him.
It was impossible. I was just drawn in the whole time. I'm like, what are we talking about? Hackerspace? Yes, I get that. But then music and dancing. And I'm like, yes, we're doing that instead. That's what we're doing.
You had some of our staff dancing over here. I know I saw Ryder getting into it at one point. Yeah, I saw you. Don't worry.
Awesome. But so why MakerCon? What brought you here?
Twitter. I was invited on Twitter. Okay. And I wasn't busy this weekend, and I've been looking to perform another show. Last show was actually last year, where I debuted my album. So it was a good start to just get back into playing gigs again.
So you got an album.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
It's called The Beat Melodic Spectacular. I mean, you can pick it up on iTunes or Bandcamp. I like Bandcamp. You can download it for free or donate whatever you want. So let's stick it to the man a little bit. You know, don't give that percentage to iTunes.
What do we expect to see on that album? You said there's different moods you have. You know, trance day, electronic.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we expect on the album?
Well, basically what you heard. Those are all songs from that album except for one remix I did of Local Natives. I mean, like I said, you know, like I kind of like to get some experimental vibes going in there, like some cool sound effects, you know, some techno, trance, a little bit of funk inspiration, a little bit of Daft Punk inspiration, which you probably heard in one of those songs. Like I said, my website, you know, songs about love, robots, and space.
Robots and space, very good.
Huzzah!
Yeah, exactly.
As far as the sounds that we heard, and if you weren't able to hear it, yay. But not yay. You need to go check it out.
Yeah, you definitely want to hear it, but not you wanted to hear time. John as well. Right.
Are they all sounds you've created yourself, or are you using some sort of sample pack and then kind of messing with the noises to create your own sound?
It depends. Most of the time, I try and just do it completely original, write my own riffs, and then I'll use either Massive, for any other electronic artists out there, probably would know what that is, or Alchemy is another program I like using, or FM8, and just take the samples there and the patches and just tweak them the way I want them. And yeah, sometimes I will go into samples and then tweak them and change them, you know, I don't know if I'm getting too technical, let me know.
You're fine.
Okay,
no, you're
good.
Right.
I'll transpose it down.
Sure.
You know, just make it crazy.
Well, let's get technical, because I know I'm not the only one curious. People are interested when they watch our show. They want to know some details. Talk about your rig. What do you got hardware wise sitting over there, because I can't see it from here. I just see boxes.
All right, well, I'll just start from the beginning. First thing, I got an iPad. It's very simple. you press it, it does stuff.
Yeah, that is true. You do press the iPad and it does stuff.
That's right. True.
You don't know what sometimes, but it does stuff. Yeah. That's good.
Hopefully good things. It's running CS Grain, which is a sample program, which you can kind of mash up the sounds.
Okay.
So I was playing that in the beginning, and then I played a pad on the Korg Micro Korg, and just played with some of the filters, the cutoff filters and the resonance filters. And then I had the Korg Vocal Beats going, just some great like analog, you know, beat sounds. I'm working on getting a little more familiar with that because I want to incorporate that more into my sex. It's a really cool sound.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I have an Ableton Push.
Sure.
I don't, like on the website, if you watch the video, the guy's like going crazy, playing chords live. I don't really do that. I use it more for I take my songs and I cut them up into little pieces.
Okay.
So you have the drums, have the lead guitar or the bass, and I'll put that all in separate parts of the song and I'll play them live and I'll improvise with them, which you saw. Rather than just having one thing, it says song A and then pressing play. I have the whole song cut up so I can play with it live. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Good.
So I got to know then. So you have all of this stuff you're working on. You have big plans in store. But what's next in the next year for you as an artist? Where do you see yourself going and what are you getting involved in?
I honestly would like to see myself getting paid for some of my film score stuff. Right now, it's just free. That's more the direction I see him going. Performing live is fun to me. It's like making a fool of myself on stage. So.
It's whatever you enjoy. You're an artist. It's whatever you want to do. I get that.
Exactly.
I'm totally on board with
There's
that.
There's certainly that.
Exactly. But, yeah, I would love to get into more indie films. And I'd like to do an indie film this year, like maybe a feature-length film would be my goal this year.
And you said you've done some film work before.
Right.
Any of that stuff open for people to go check out?
You can. I did the score on what's it called? Sir Orange. Sorry.
Okay.
You can find that on Vimeo. It's a short film. Okay. I did the whole music for it. Also, the Lonely Cure trailer, which is an indie movie coming out. I did the music for the trailer, which is actually it's Eric Sadie.
Okay.
Which I redid. And you can find that one on YouTube. And if you also look up Origin Oil, you'll find one of the songs that I did today is in there, in their promotional videos.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Very cool. That's awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed the set. I wish I could just be there to enjoy it, but, you know, we got to work at times. It's part of what we have to do here is work.
Life.
That's, that's why they've got us here. So if people want to find out more about you and what you do, how can they find you?
Where I post my... But you can go to bandcamp.com/thedigitalberrybot, where you can buy my latest album or any other future albums I release. I don't always release something in an album form, so if you want to keep up to date with my latest sounds, go to soundcloud.com/thedigitalberrybot, soundcloud.com/thedigitalberrybot.
And did you drop your Twitter handle yet? Did you mention that? Because you said you got invited on Twitter. Now people have to get a hold of you, right?
That's right. I did get invited on Twitter.
So
right.
your handle
is...
So
how can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm a little, I have to look. I don't use Twitter a lot. It was a surprise. Last year I missed MakerCon because she sent me a message on Twitter, and I got it like 6 months later. And
oh,
I
my
said,
goodness.
Well, I'm sorry. I just got this.
Next one. Yeah, next one. Well, clearly this is proof that you have to use social media, at least that.
It sounds like
exactly.
You need to be on Twitter more frequently.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, here it is. It's at DigitalBerryBot. There you go. Simple.
So,
Cameron was very simple.
Hold on. You had to check your phone to check your name. I'm just making sure we're on the same page here.
I had to check my Twitter handle.
Yes, to make sure it was...
Which sounds like it's very similar to the other ones you gave us.
That's true, but I dropped the.
The, yeah.
Very
there
important.
Was no the.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was important to say the, because it sounds funny.
It does.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, we appreciate you,
thank you
stopping by and talking to us. And
thank
we appreciate you entertaining us for the first bit of the show.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'm sorry if I ruined anyone else's interviews.
Fine. You are fine.
Nope, not at all.
Okay, great.
All
right, thanks you so much, guys.
Thank you. We all appreciate right. it.
No problem.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So truly a little bit of everything going on here. A little bit of robots, which is, as the regulars know, more my world. A little bit of music, which is a little bit more... your world.
And that's what makes this awesome.
I really like it, and not just our worlds, but you know, a lot of our regular viewers know that we're involved with the 3000 Brigade,
yep,
which is our cosplay acting troupe in South Florida, and so a little bit of their world is
right.
Also here today.
We're going to have him slide in closer and get real comfortable with Scott because
that'll work.
He likes that.
All right, go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
My name's Jason Raleigh. I'm the owner of Fireblade Comics. I make props and customized action figures for people who do cosplay, live action role playing, just collectors.
And you have. You've got your booth on the other side, and you were showing me some of your stuff earlier, and it's truly impressive.
Thank you.
Now, there's a certain aspect of it that is what you really enjoy doing, right? What part is that?
Well, I get some requests sometimes to make replicas from the movie, but what I enjoy more is taking the creative liberties with it, with starting with a base design and then changing the aesthetic. So it still fits the movie, but, you know, creating new shapes and an overall new design. It's kind of hard to explain. It's kind of like I take, like, the cartoon-style build for the PKE meter, which I really liked, but then I added in some elements of the movie and then painted it to make it look like it belonged in the movie rather than the cartoon. So it's fun because when you take those kind of liberties with something with Ghostbusters, you can get away with a lot. Star Wars is another good example. You know, there's a lot of things you can do that will fit the Star Wars aesthetic.
Absolutely.
Right.
That lived-in, worn, used look. So,
what inspired you to start doing that? I mean, that's... So, for me, that's not something I think of, I'm going to start making creative-licensed props and products like that. What made you get involved in that?
I've been building props and doing scale models and action figures pretty much my whole life. I don't know what it is that really makes you want to do it, you know, as kind of your own design. It's just that you want to tweak it at first. You know, when you start designing a prop, and you're building it for somebody who's doing cosplay, you have to take into account several factors. When they do it for the movie, they can make 10 different versions for different scenes, and it only has to last on screen for a few seconds. So it might have a function in one scene where it lights up, and the next scene, you know, it breaks apart into two pieces, and things like sound can be added in post-production. When somebody comes to you and says, well, make me one like this, well, they want sound, that lights, they want it to break into two pieces, and it has to survive in a convention where it's banging around on your belt or being dropped on the floor. So you run a spectrum of, you know, durability, quality, functionality. And so that's where you start taking some liberties, because then you say, well, I can make it light up, but it may not light up exactly like it did in the movie, you know, or
sure.
It might light up, but it's going to have a different effect to it, you know. And sometimes people throw things out there. They say, well, I want it to be like it did in the movie, but can you change the color? And that's where you start making those little tweaks that you go, you know what, this design's really cool, but instead of, you know, having an oval shape, maybe I'll make it a box shape. Maybe I'll move the antennas down to the other side. You kind of have to have both an engineering mindset to it and an artistic mindset. So I guess somebody made the point, they said both your hemispheres are firing at the same time. That's probably true.
Yeah. One of the things that I really like about the way you do it is the fact that you just use things.
Yeah, found items,
yeah.
Garbage. I do pull things out of the garbage. It's not a very honorable system, I guess, but as long as people don't care what you're doing, they don't. Don't mind you trespassing, but seriously, I do get a lot of junk from where I work because they're very nice. They know what I'm doing, and they want to encourage it. So I get some unique items. I won't name my place of employment, but
it's probably for the best.
I get some really cool stuff to take apart. And they see it. They may have a whole device that just because an LED or something went out on it, it's now useless because I can't tell if it's on. The LED's
right.
Burned out. They chuck that thing, and I'm going, I'm going to get all these other electronics. I'm going to get the casing. I'm going to get the gears. Yeah, it's like a wealth every time somebody throws something out. So
where did your inspiration for taking things from your life that's around you
Well, growing up, I always had an interest in special effects. I used to watch a lot of the behind-the-scenes features on films because I was just really drawn to that aspect of Hollywood, and I was watching a special on... the earliest I can remember, anyway, was it was an anniversary show for Star Trek, and they were showing how they built the shuttles, and the landing struts on them were just disposable men's razor blades, the hilts from them. And it just kind of sparked something in my head where I said, that's amazing. I mean, you can just take stuff out of the garbage, and, you know, they're showing the model kits that they would use, you know, like a tank and a plane and all these, and I'm like, wow, they're like mixing up all the parts. It's crazy. Who would have thought to do that? So, I don't know, at a really early age, it just kind of altered my thinking to make me look at shapes in general around me going, well, okay, that's one thing, but what if you cut it in half, flipped it on its side, added something else, then
it would be a...
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm keeping things in the back of my head when I see them going, you know, well, that's a cool, like, orange juice carton, but the cap on it is really cool, and you could cut the body in half and use that as, you know, like the shell to something else. So it's kind of it's both a gift and a skill that you build up over time. A lot of people go, oh, I'd kill for that talent. But I go, well, I've also had a lot of practice, too. Yeah. I think if you just change your mindset and start looking at things in a different light, then you'll develop it.
Let me ask you. You've been doing this for a while now. What's the best, coolest, most interesting project to you that you've been able to sink your teeth into and said, yeah, that's my best work?
Tough one.
Boy, that's hard. Yeah. they each have their own merits. I've done projects that have been so time-consuming and so frustrating. Like, I did a movie version of the PKE meter from Ghostbusters, and it was a couple different kits that people sent me. This one guy wanted it, so he bought a kit for the resin cast for the shell. He bought a kit for the lights and the sound and the servos and things. Sent me all these parts, and the problem was that somebody else had already attempted to put it together and had actually soldered the kit together backwards. So
nice.
It's hard to explain, but all the electronics that go in that little shell, it's kind of like building a ship in a bottle.
Okay.
And putting that thing together and making it work was such an accomplishment. I was just glad it was done. But when it did finally work and I turned it on and moved it and it did everything that it did in the movie, and this was before Mattel came out with their toy version, so I was just like, wow, this is just so cool to hold it in my hands.
Yeah.
I think the other one, the big one, would have to be the proton pack. Because that's one of the most identifiable pieces of science fiction, at least in the last, you know, 50 years. I mean, you could pick out some others, maybe the pulse rifle from Aliens. Just things that people, as soon as they see it, they know what it
is. They know what it is.
And if you can light it up or fire it and do something with it, it just blows them away. And the pack is another one that there's just so many parts to it, and there's just so many ways to build it. And the gun itself, the gun is kind of like that PKE meter in the sense that it's this itty-bitty little cavity, and yet it houses all these electronics, all these different switches. And anybody who's ever built one can tell you it's crazy. You're just trying to work in this teeny tiny confined space. And it's almost like putting a puzzle together upside down through a microscope, inside building a ship inside of a bottle. It's just all those things at once. And when you finally get this thing finished and fire it up, put it on your back, and you go, oh, my gosh, I'm a Ghostbuster. This is... It's crazy. It's like you're transported into your dreams, you know, as a kid. And it takes you all the way back to childhood. It's just an awesome experience.
Right. Very cool.
That's pretty much how Terry described this whole event as being, I think, what did she say?
Her brain threw up.
It's just all the things that are in her head at any given time have all manifested themselves in this room today.
Exploded, yeah. Well, I don't know the throw-up part, but I'd have to agree.
Yeah. It's really a cool event.
It's fun to see all the aspects of, you know, both the electronics, the robotics, the actual engineering, the creation, the 3D printing and stuff. Just being able, anything you can visualize anymore, anything that you can think up in your head they can make, there's just really no end to it.
Yeah,
you've got machines making machines. You know, I was joking with my friend. He said, "I'm going to get a 3D printer." I said, "Yeah, when you get one, print me one." You know.
That
nice.
That's like in the second Portal game, one of the spheres says the best way to make a photocopier is to photocopy a mirror. Same general idea.
Sure, makes sense.
I think it's like wishes, though. You can't wish for more wishes.
I think they have to come out at 3/4 scale is the way it works.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I call it bogus. I think that's just a genie rule they throw down when you first rub the lamp, you know. It's because they're just crossing their fingers going, just don't wish for more wishes.
Let me be over this. I want to go back home.
But can you wish that you're a genie? No. I guess then you just have to, you'd be like customer service the rest of your life. It'd be the most horrible job.
That would be the worst retail experience ever, I suppose.
You get indeed to hear the dark side of humanity, too. Everybody's worst wishes. You
know. Oh, yeah, no, thank you. That sounds terrible.
I wouldn't even want to get into that. Except for me, because I just wish to, like, have an actual real working proton pack, you know. and a bunch of insurance.
Oh,
so,
naturally.
So, you know, I just go, yeah, I'd light up the place.
Now we know.
Apparently we do.
And for my third wish, more wishes.
I tricked you. Ah.
Just not your first wish. I got it now. We're all right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming
thank
and talking to us.
Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate
the show. Thank you. Always fun. Okay. So looking at my timer, coming up on 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Yes.
But we seem to be right on schedule. Our guests is.
We're actually 15 ahead.
15 ahead.
But everything's been working out okay.
Right.
Everybody's so been here 15
been
early, so it's been working out well.
Fantastic. So let's do this. What say you, good sir, that we chat a little bit about what we've kind of experienced, our day so far.
Okay.
And then we will take a small break.
We're going to leave the camera running. You guys can see all the stuff happening behind us.
There'll be some people making funny faces. I can guarantee it.
Guaranteed.
There will be some people trying to distract us. Guaranteed. They will be on camera. Because
I believe our next segment is at 4:15.
Yes. So, but we'll be back before that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk. What time did I get up today? 5:30 to make this happen.
Yeah, you've been in action for quite a while.
Has not stopped. It's great. We got here on time-ish, loaded in, started setting up. And, okay, so 3 weeks ago, we went to the first robotic competition in Orlando.
Yep.
Had a great time.
Yes.
Show went off without a hitch. Not even a problem. It's awesome. A couple routing issues beforehand, but meh.
It happened.
Not a problem. Not today, my friends. Not today at all. I couldn't get the cameras to turn on. Couldn't get the audio to route right. You couldn't hear yourself for the longest part of the beginning of the day. I mean, not when we went live, but before.
I don't need to hear myself. I'm okay.
Or the guest next to you.
Oh, well,
I couldn't hear the guest
next
to
you. That I need to hear.
These are important things. So we fixed all that. But we did that at like 1:30.
Yes, we did.
So we were a little bit behind on our 2 o'clock time of we're going to go. That's why I said last Sunday, I said, we're going to start at 2-ish and run till 4-ish. Going 2 to 6, apparently.
Apparently.
2:15 to 5:30. That's what we're doing Eastern time. So.
That is give or take it.
But it's not been bad. This is actually pretty cool. I don't have, like, a vested childhood interest in these things, but it's really cool that I like the things I'm seeing today. Like, I have a new interest, which is okay. I think that's great.
Carla is laughing at us, and I don't know why.
I don't know why.
She's just laughing at something.
You can unmute 4, and you can mention whatever's happening.
Carla is laughing at the chat room.
Is the chat room going nuts?
I love the chat room because they have kept me up to date this entire time. Yes. Apparently, the chair has slid over again, and
the
we
guest
need to
chair?
Move it back. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
we've got some time before the next
to reset. Yeah, it'll all work
we'll
out.
Okay.
I love him because I love the person that's been keeping me informed because they have been helping me with sound and they have been helping me with visual.
You know, that's why I love what we do as a broadcast. A lot of people don't do their podcast or broadcast live. Right. And I always ask why. And they say, well, you know, we don't have the equipment or it's too time consuming or whatever the case may be. Or I'm not good live. I said, the only way you get good live is if you do it live. And we get 100 times more response on our downloads. If you subscribe, you are the people that keep us going. But at the same time, our live people get a bonus. They get to chat with us. We get to harass them, which is, I mean, a bonus for me.
That's always better.
They get to watch the Nightcap live. We try to do things like that to keep you engaged because we appreciate the feedback we get like that. If someone says, hey, you know, the sound's not working right, you know, it could be different on the iPhone. It could be different on your Surface. It could be different on the computer. I don't know. I have, like, one computer pushing out feed, and I know it's right. If yours isn't, I need to know. I can make adjustments, and we've made a couple.
We have?
And things are good. I appreciate that. So thank you for everyone in the chat room for watching live. We appreciate it. For you, this obviously this is like your thing. This is like Christmas.
Yeah, this is my world
this
here.
Is Christmas for you. How has this been? I mean, you were able to walk around and see everyone and then convince them all to talk to you. Which I don't know how you pulled that off.
One of our volunteers. It's all because of her. She's the reason why people agreed to be on the show. People are afraid of me. She's more calming. She's shaking her head no at me. The thing about the community that's here is that, you know, the people who decide they want to do something and do it also want people to know about it because of the whole collaboration thing. The ability to share their knowledge with others so that the next generation of the thing that somebody else thinks, oh, like Kevin Wolf, which we've mentioned a couple of times now, and the quadcopters. The ability for Kevin Wolf, who designed the flight system, which is insane, and the guy who has had to go diving to get his quadcopter out of a pond several times, the two of them talk, and, you know, Kevin can help him figure out Virtual Horizons,
right?
And he can help Kevin with flotation devices that you know engage upon water landing, accidental in this
crazy
case, and keep you from having to dive into a pond to go get your quadcopter back. Everybody has been really excited about the opportunity to talk about who they are, what they do, and why they do.
Yeah, I agree. It's cool to see such excitement happen in a bunch of different spaces all in one place.
It's true.
We literally have everything here. It's so crazy. I saw a raccoon get skinned outside. Yep, that happened. Terry's daughter.
Oh, I'm fully aware. I just didn't know it was actually...
It was dead.
Going down.
Does that help?
Live here.
No, it was dead.
Well, not it.
Oh.
All right.
It's from that to raccoon jerky to a robot, I mean, it's all here. It's all here.
Huh.
I did not have the raccoon jerky. Ryder had the raccoon jerky.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Terry says everything is better with Worcestershire sauce on it.
Which means she doesn't like it. that's what I just heard.
I believe you're right. Hey, I want to do one last thing before we take a break. Behind us, I don't know if you can see it from the cameras that are on right now, but if you're watching after the fact, you definitely can. Tina Nikolai, independent designer and mentor. She is the person right behind me on my right-hand shoulder.
Anytime we have somebody close to us, they are forced to endure
torture.
The bright lights of the studio and all of the people just coming in and out and standing and looking crazy. And
right.
All the things that come with being right next to our broadcast booth.
Sometimes it draws attention to them, too.
It's true.
Which is good. But she let us put a very, very large and obnoxious, obscene banner. No, it's our banner. It's our logo, and it's branded. It's right above her booth behind her, and we were trying to find a place to put it back over beyond the cameras, or couldn't figure it out. So she's like, you can put it here. I said, no, we can't do that. She said, no, I don't mind. I'll even move back. I'll make some room for it. I'm like, you guys, yeah, that's great. So I have to make sure I mention and thank the Origami Owl, custom jewelry, independent designer, T. Nikolai, N-I-C-O-L-A-I, at me.com. Go check out the website. It's organic jewelry, origami jewelry, organic jewelry. It's custom jewelry.
It's probably
Carla. Carla picked up a bracelet and something else.
Very
cool. Two bracelets, yeah. And they're crazy cool. Like a bunch of different weird designs all together, and it works. It's like unique things.
I haven't had the opportunity to see her booth because I haven't been in the studio all day. So maybe I will take a moment during our break here.
So
go check it out.
Go check out the website. It's Tina Nikolai, T-I-N-A-N-I-C-O-L-A-I .origamiowl.com. Thank you so much, Tina. We appreciate it. And on that note, we are going to take just a small break, just to kind of recenter ourselves because it's been nuts. And we're going to do that. We're going to have a little sign-up. We're not going anywhere.
Get a little bit of water. We're going to leave the broadcast up, and we will be back in just a few minutes with the second half of the show.
It's like when we change over the TriCaster at CES.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing. That's what we're doing.
Here we come. It's the top of the hour. It's time to recycle the TriCaster. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. We are back.
This is awesome. This has been crazy. This is great. Let me kick it back off, if I may.
Okay.
You are watching the second part of F5 Live Refreshing Technology, episode 350. Usually I just say 350, but
I know you do. I've been here before.
350. No, 350. This is actually pretty cool, dude. 350 episodes. This is Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 live from the Florida State Fairgrounds in beautiful Tampa, Florida. We have had all 8 guests on. It's been a lot.
Sure, let's go with that.
We'll go with 8. 8 guests on. It's been great. It's been fun. It's been great and fun. This is our part two of hour 3. I don't know how that's working. We are F5 Live. We are the flagship show on the Plug Hits Live family of content. Our show airs Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time, except for, you know, special events like this. And we post the show in studio quality sound.
It sounds just like that.
It sound all of it. Your voice,
everybody's going to sound exactly like that when he's
studio
done.
Studio quality sound. It sounds like that between
one.
Sunday
night.
Between Sunday nights and Monday mornings for your drive to work, school, or what have you. And if you want to watch or listen to that audio and video goodness, you can do so by going to F5Live.tv, clicking the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, special events, Pilch Point, Nightcap, a bunch of other shows we'll get into soon.
Will we? Will we get into them soon?
We have to. We have too many things sitting in our offices not to... So people have been commenting about the chair. If you're listening to the audio, you don't know what's happening. But if you're watching video, the chair. There's a robotic chair that our very good friend Chris is driving, and he almost fell over in the chair just now.
It was just pretty wonderful.
He almost fell over in the chair just now. There's that. Anyway, if you want to chat with us, you can do so live in the studio every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, or when we do special events like this by going to F5Live.tv. Help me out this time. /join us.
I did it last time.
I didn't. I looked right. Did you?
Yes.
I forgot. I wasn't paying attention.
Obviously.
I'm sorry.
Shame on you.
And normally you can chat with us after the show, exclusive to our live listeners, the Epic Award-winning, spine-chilling, maker-like Nightcap, where we ask each other questions, talk about random things. It's been fun. There's that. But tonight, obviously, no Nightcap, no Pilch Point, none of that stuff, because we're here.
We're
doing 4 hours of coverage at MakerCon, and that's a whole different beast of its own.
It is.
And what better way to kick off part two than with another guest?
Because
that's what we're doing.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Absolutely.
How are you?
I'm doing really good. This is a lot of fun.
All right, go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
I'm Brian Johnson of Johnson Arms Replicas and Props, and I do all kinds of fun stuff. I do custom Nerf guns. We do 3D printing now that it's become real prevalent. And just finished up on three different projects that were 3D printed and culminated with a replica weapon from a movie that previously would have just cost way too much time and money to make. And now it just costs a lot of money.
Very nice. Now, our last guest before we went to break also does props. And the two of you are sharing a booth, one big
Yeah, we move in a pack.
Because I would imagine, especially in Tampa, it's a pretty small community.
It is. There's people hiding that you don't realize till you've been here for years. And you go, oh, you've been here too? But it is amazing. There is a lot of people here that do whatever their part is. But we've kind of developed a little community. So person's really good at this part. I'm good at this part. And we all work together where no one person could be good at all those things. And it's just, it's cool. You know, you start to realize how, like, Jim Henson pulled everybody together, you know?
Right.
Because he never would have done that by himself, you know?
Way too much and way too diverse of things for one person. So what aspect of the creation of these replica props and these custom Nerf guns and things is the thing that you're the best at, that you enjoy the most?
Oh, hands down, it's the painting.
The painting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would give up everything else to do the painting because, one, it's what I've done my whole life.
Okay.
And just I like seeing it when it's done because you can take something that physically looks right, but it's gray. And you can paint it horribly and it looks sloppy and looks awful, but if you paint it just right and get the weathering and everything just right, the most fun is seeing people pick stuff up off the table thinking it's going to weigh 20 pounds and realize that it weighs 1 pound. You know, and then you know you've done your job because they anticipated it being heavy because you tricked their eyes.
Because the material looked different
exactly.
than it is.
Exactly.
You know, it's cool. Our very good friend Joel, who's been on the show multiple times, was watching him over there when he was messing with the guns too, and he's holding them, looking at the detail. And I'm just amazed at how well you made whatever material you're using at the time just painted so well. Like, there's a lot of attention to detail, and it's impressive.
It's repetitious practice. And screwing up is better than doing it right the first time because you'll just do it the same way every time and never learn anything. I've learned more by screwing up, and some of my best secrets that I'll never tell are ones that I've learned through messing up because
sure.
although I believe that no one has ever done anything original ever because someone else has had to have done it, just no one's ever cared about this particular effect. And still I, you know, said, wait a second, this looks cool. And I used it.
Right.
And now all the time people are like, how'd you get this effect? How does it look like that? It's like David Copperfield, man. You know, you can hire me, but I ain't telling that part. But the painting, bar none, is the most fun. It's the biggest leap, even from creation to a physical thing to hold. The difference between that and holding it when it's done is just, you know, it's like a baby, you know, and at that point, if it's something that no one's ever made physically before, it is that one time where you go, I'm the first person holding this gun from this game because it's never been a physical thing.
Right.
And now with 3D printing, it's just, you know, it's still kind of expensive, but if you get the good group of people that are good and everybody's free and everybody wants to work together,
right.
you can make helmets and guns and just you know, anything you want, and it's awesome. You know.
You've really got some impressive stuff over there.
Well, thank you.
And what I liked was when I first came over there, there was what I think we both assumed to be a father and two sons.
Right.
And the one kid asked you, so can we buy these on your website? Your answer was fantastic.
I don't remember what I said.
You said, yes, but don't. They're far too expensive.
Oh, that's
Here's
funny.
What you should do. Learn to make them yourself.
Especially at a maker's fair.
Right.
You know? That's why I never sell anything at these fairs. And I don't, honestly, when I do conventions, I prefer to walk around with like one of the recent creations.
Sure.
You know, something big and massive and BFG crazy. You know, because it just, you can walk around. It's just like carrying a flag around the floor. They could always see the tip of my barrel 4 feet above my head and easy to spot, but it also allows me to walk around and people go, oh, what is that? And I'd stop and I'd talk to them and I'd continue to walk.
Sure.
But I get to enjoy the event instead of sitting in a booth all day and going, man, did you see that cool thing? You see the fighting robots? I'm like, nope. Well, yeah, from 50 feet, but it was a bunch of heads. So I've always enjoyed walking around, not trying to sell stuff, because I've always believed in the adage that you do something you love, do it enough, do it well enough, and people will start throwing money at you and saying, I want that so bad, give it to me.
We call that stealth boothing.
There yep. you go. Okay. Now, and you'll notice I'm wearing my, for the people listening, I'm wearing a Cortana chip from Halo. And most people don't even know what that is, but the people that do, they don't know that that's a physical thing that you can buy. And
right.
Like, oh, I have to have that. And I'm like, I happen to make those. You know, but just by wearing it,
good
I get
news,
more people
buddy.
Asking. Yeah. But they sit at my house, and if I never told anybody, they just sit. But it's just advertisement and kind of walking around. But they seem pretty nice here, and, you know, haven't been tempted to sell. But when I told that kid that, it's really because I don't sell to kids. But the other side of it is that, you know, I love seeing what they come up with. And as long as they don't make it look dangerous or not leave an orange tip on it, then I'm okay, you know. You don't want to get parents mad.
Right. That was something that you said while there. Make sure that you've got the orange tip on the barrel so everybody knows that it's
yeah.
that it's a prop.
They say that no, what is it? Basically where no matter what, it's good. You know, any kind of publicity or any kind of, you know, buzz.
Yes.
Like
any
Lindsay
publicity
Lohan.
Is good publicity.
Yes, there you go. Not yeah. always true.
It's
too responsible for a kid that got
don't.
Shot. Not going to be positive.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely don't.
It's really cool, though,
that.
that there's a huge presence of prop, really great prop making here in Tampa. And you don't really think of that when you think of Tampa. And we were talking to someone off camera before the show. You don't think of Tampa as a maker place. You don't think of Tampa as, you know, a software sector. You don't think of Tampa as these prop places. And now we have all that in one spot, which is cool, number one. But number two, it's quality. It's good stuff. It's not just, oh, someone just throwing things together. And that's yeah. commendable. I think it's great that there's a love for this kind of stuff here in our space, in our home, in our backyard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always thought I was at a disadvantage being in Florida. Come to find out, no, it's not. You know, almost everything can be ordered. And it's fairly fast. It's fairly cheap to get it. You know, all that good thing. But there's still plenty of stores to go and find what you need today. You may pay a little bit more, but I'm going to the shop with it in my hands.
Right.
And I'll pay extra all day long if I don't have to wait 3 days of working time to get the
sure.
one little thing that I need. So, yeah, Tampa's right. awesome. You know, and I think it's just going to get better, too. The more people hear it, they're going to want to merge into it.
And it's exactly what both the Community Innovation Center and the Tampa Hackerspace are trying to do, is make Tampa a place for things, you
right.
know, which people have always thought that it's not. I mean, the Tampa Tribune was here earlier. The girl that we were talking to didn't know that Wikipedia was founded here in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
And he left because of that perception that Florida is not a
right
place for things.
Well, you always think California, but with me being here, they pay me California money and I spend on Florida bills, you know, and that's not that Florida's cheap, but it isn't California and it's not New
right.
York.
I was saying it's sure not New York.
Yeah. But when they see a price, it's like if, you know, somebody from Europe, they convert to the euro or the British pounds and they go, I'm already getting a 25% discount.
That's true.
And so I don't have to cut my prices. It's just, it's nice, you know. I never thought having a weak dollar would be good, but as long as they don't keep making my peanut butter and stuff more expensive, I think I'll level out at some point. I'll get ahead of my bills.
So, if somebody is interested in seeing the products and props and things that you make, how can they see that?
If you go on to Google and type in Johnson Arms Props, or Johnson Arms Nerf, it'll bring up pages and pages.
Okay.
Yeah, it honestly, and it probably is better than just going to my website.
Okay.
Because I'm on Facebook and DeviantArt and YouTube, and anywhere that I should be, I think I am. It's just that between doing that stuff and making stuff at the shop, I always do the shop. So there's certain places where I update more often.
Sure.
But if they find me on Facebook, that's where I can post photos every day and show updates.
And it's super easy to do.
It
yeah.
really is. And I'm about as interactive as I think anybody can be, because
cool.
I know how important that is. And I've always hated sending an email that I took an hour to put together, and then you never get a response.
Right.
That that guy read it at least, you know, or did
right,
not see it.
Right.
And so anytime I get even the, you know, one that's clearly a child that's asking about something, I'll respond it.
Try to respond.
Like
that's
I'm,
awesome.
You know, Mr. Rogers. You know, because someday that kid might go, and my inspiration was this guy that painted toy guns. You know,
yeah.
And I'll go, what? You know,
and I had a question, and he responded to me, and I took the ball and ran
and
with
I've kept
it
in my pocket
that's
this
really
whole
cool.
time.
And, you never know.
And that kid becomes the person who's responsible for the individual weathering on the new ride at Disney.
Exactly.
Or, you know.
As long as he's not the weather bot that will paint automatically. I'm okay with printers, but don't make it print, you know, don't paint well. I need that. That's my thing. You know,
that's your thing.
So I sit there and go, you guys get really good at making models and printing them, because all I want you to do is sell them to me so I can paint them. You know, I know where to pay money, and I know where to do it myself.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank
you so
guys.
Much. Awesome stuff. Just between you and the guests before at the same booth, obviously, but it's just cool to see props. I need to go
Absolutely.
Check it out before we get off the air. I haven't been able to
same physical space, but
right.
different
take on
you
things.
You guys
which
got
is really
my
cool.
phone number and my
yes,
email, so
absolutely.
If you ever want to come over and see the chaos that is my shop, it's probably more exciting than I see it, but it's got, you know,
and if I'm not mistaken, you're close to us, right?
I'm in Clearwater.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so,
we'd
love
to take you up on that.
That'd be cool.
We're holding you to it.
Thanks for coming by and talking to us.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you. Johnson Arms Props. Go check out that website for sure. That's some cool stuff. I like that.
Yeah, I like it.